It is 9 o'clock on February 2nd, and the Board of Supervisors meeting will now come to order. And may we all stand and pledge allegiance to the flag. And please remain standing as Pastor Greg Begley of Celebration Central Church will give the invocation. Thank you.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you for the invitation. Heavenly Father, we come to you, Lord, in need of wisdom, in need of knowledge, in need of discernment. Lord, with the issues that come before the county, Lord, only you know the depth of those things. Only you know the answer to, and the solution. Father, I pray that wisdom would be the portion of this group, Lord, today, that you would speak to them. Lord, I pray that they would even see any hidden agendas that come along in anything that they deal with this week. Father, let the Spirit of God lead, guide, protect. Most of all, Lord, I pray for them individually, for their families, for their homes. I pray for the peace of God to be with them, Lord, that their families would be together. Lord, I pray that there would be an outpouring of your Holy Spirit, Lord, in this city and in this county, Lord, to restore the things that have been stolen. Lord, all the broken homes and families, Lord, I pray that there would be an awakening, a spiritual awakening that would literally replace the strongholds that stand in the way of the peace, the joy, and the prosperity, and all of the blessing upon God's people. Lord, I pray that you would bless everyone that lives in this county. Lord, bless the homes, bless the businesses. Lord, bless the charitable organizations. Lord, I pray that there would be plenty here. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. God bless you.
Thank you.
We now will make a presentation. It'll be to Central Catholic High School, the 2050 State Football Championship. And, excuse me, I'm asking Supervisor Withrow to make the presentation since he's alumnus of Central Catholic, and we welcome you.
Good morning. Thank you, guys. Why don't you, whoever's going to come up, come on up here. Okay, we got the whole crew here.
Bodyguards.
Very good. Roger, how are you?
Good.
Thank you. Good to see you. Thank you guys for being here. We're excited about what you guys did. You know, I thought about what I was going to say this morning, and I thought I could really kind of brag on District 3 here, Supervisor Old District 3 again. You know, and it's fourth year you guys have done this. We've had Modesto Christian, had a championship. It seems like every year that I've been here, District 3 has pretty much ruled Stanislaus County. But that wouldn't be right. I wouldn't want to rub that in with these guys. And then I know we have alumni here. I know Matt Machado. I told Matt was going to stand up. Our public works director, Central grad, is here. So anyway, again, what you guys have done is amazing. And it's not just the football that you do at Central. It's everything else that you do. It's the academic side of it. It's, you know, when kids, in order to graduate from Central, we've got to have Christian service hours, community service hours, we have to say in government language, but it's Christian service hours that Central requires for everybody to do. So all of you, all the athletes, all of them are not only just great athletes, but just great people, and you guys instill that in everybody. And President Jim Pecanino, who was there when I was there, doing great things at Central. And so you make our county proud. And I got to give honorable mention to Oakdale. Bill Oakdale had a great year this year and did good stuff. So. But anyway, we're proud of what you've done here. It's great for Stanislaus County, everything you guys do, and I know you're all going to grow up to be great great citizens in our country here. So thank you guys very much. We've got a bunch of certificates for you here, and I'm going to let you talk a little bit here. Roger, go ahead.
Thanks for having us here. Thanks to supervisors, our presidents here, Jim Pecanino. Real quick, this is our athletic Director and Dean of Students, Billy Hilla. This is our quarterback, Hunter Polanski, who's going to Columbia. Justin Rice is our tailback, who's going to go to Fresno State, almost said Florida State. Paul Freehoff, who could be going to San Jose or Eastern Washington. Austin Escobar is undecided, and Javier Canella, who's probably going to go to Oregon. So these are our captains. They're great kids. Just like you said, the reason we win is we don't have the best athletes, but I think we have some of the better kids that work hard, great work ethic. So thanks for having us. This is our fourth year, so next year we expect one of them chairs. Honorary. I want to be an honorary supervisor, so, you know, lunch or something, we expect that. But that's okay. Don't let it bother you. But thank you for having us.
Thanks, Roger. Thank you, guys. Over. Billy, you want to say anything?
Yeah, just to reiterate what Coach said, thank you for having us here today. You know, we take a lot of pride in you know, representing our school, our families, but in representing our community as well. And, you know, I'm happy this year we got to bring a couple of the guys with us, because to us as coaches, the wins are fun, you know, the championships are fun, but this is what it's all about, and following these guys, you know, for the rest of their lives and watching them go on and do great things and pay it forward and take the lessons they learn and making our society a better place. But I'm proud of all of these guys and all of our guys. And like I said, that's what it's all about for us.
Okay, guys, thank you very much for being here.
Our second presentation will proclaim February 2016 as Black Month, History Month in Stanislaus County. And I'd like to call on Frank Johnson, who is president of the NAACP Modesto Stanislaus County branch.
Good morning, Chairman, supervisors. If you give them a chair, I want a podium that has a chair lift. Thank you for this opportunity for another year, recognizing Black History Month. To speak just a little bit on history, this year we're recognizing the African American women that have made serious, serious contributions with their lives. Real briefly and quickly, Ms. Tubman, who was the underground movement of the railroad, does people understand that she was also a spy for the Union Army. Then you move forward a little bit and you have Daisy Bates, who was inspirational in helping the Little Rock Nine and continuing to coach them. Then moving forward, you have Rosa Parks, who actually died penniless. She had no funds whatsoever. She died a very poor, poor woman. And then there was another lady who recently passed away, Maya Angelou.
Pretty woman, wonder where my secret lies. I'm not cute or built to suit a fashion model size. But when I start to tell them, they think I'm telling lies. I say it's in the reach of my arms, the span of my hips, the stride of my step, and the curl of my lips. I'm a woman, phenomenally, a phenomenal woman. That's me. I walk into a room, as cool as you please, into a man. The fellows stand or fall down on their knees. Then they swarm around me, a hive of honeybees. I say, it's the fire in my eyes, the flash of my teeth, the swing of my waist, and the joy of my feet. I'm a woman, phenomenally, a phenomenal woman, and that's me. Let them sometimes wonder what they see in me. They try so much, but they can't touch my mystery. When I try to show them, they say they still can't see. I say it's in the arch of my back, the sun of my smile, the rat of my breast, and the grace of my style. I'm a woman, phenomenally, a phenomenal woman, and that's me. Now you understand just why my head's not back. I don't shout, or jump about, or have to talk real loud. When you see me passing, it ought to make you proud. I say, it's in the click of my heels, the bend of my hair, the palm of my hand, and the need of my care. Cause I'm a woman, phenomenally, a phenomenal woman, that's me.
Thank you.
Please stay, remain there. Frank, it is our pleasure to present you with the Board of Supervisors resolution predicting February of 2016 as a Black Month history for Stanislaus County. And as it states here, I'll read only the first sentence. But whereas Black Month, History Month is a time set aside to learn, honor, and celebrate the achievements of Black men and women throughout history in America. We thank you so much for your contributions. We thank you for the oncoming contributions, and as we work together, we'll find a better place. Thank you very much.
Yeah, 10-year-old. Yeah. I couldn't even remember my own phone number at 10 years.
It is now time for public comment. Anyone having any comments they wish to make on anything that's not on today's agenda? Well, now is the opportunity to step forward. And if you do, please give your name and identify yourself, please.
First before I compiled my comments. So good morning, Supervisors CEO Risen and County Council Doring. I would like to begin my comments today with a quote. I opened two gifts this morning, my eyes, and while the author is unknown, I think we can all agree that every day we open our eyes and draw breath, we can be grateful for it despite what trials and tribulations the day may bring. So there was a nice letter to the editor in yesterday's paper that praised my efforts to combat graffiti. I don't know the letter writer, and I think the only way he could have known about my graffiti fighting efforts is he heard the comments I made about it at a previous supervisor meeting. So instead of addressing the board today, I would like to address my fellow citizens. 4 years ago, I was just like you, except for the fact that I didn't watch televised government meetings. I had even less apathy than that. And then I heard a speech on YouTube by my accountant that people are too apathetic and don't get involved. Quite frankly, his words gave me a guilt trip. So I decided to put my apathy aside, and this housewife from Salida agreed to take a seat on the Salida Municipal Advisory Council. Putting apathy aside has led to some pretty amazing things I never dreamed I'd do. I've cleaned literally hundreds of graffiti tags alongside many other people, to the point where I was able to declare the walls of Salida graffiti-free in December. And just yesterday, I sat on a sidewalk and interviewed a homeless man. It was heart-wrenching, but it's also a step towards helping him and other homeless through the county's Focus on Prevention program. Before becoming involved, I'd mostly ignore graffiti, and it would just become worse. Before becoming involved, I would see homeless people and feel helpless to help them. One of my fellow Salidans was with me yesterday as we looked for homeless to help. He's a kind-hearted retiree whom I met here at a Board of Supervisors meeting. He had approached me after a meeting and said he'd like to be involved. If you're hearing my words, please do the same. Put aside your apathy and contact your supervisor, or if you're in a city, your city council. Even if you think you're nothing more than a housewife or a retiree, you can make a difference. Reagan said it best, we can't help everyone, but we can help someone. Thank you.
Thank you. Is there anyone wishing to make any further comment? If not, we will now go to consent calendar. Is there anyone on the board who wishes to pull any of the items? If not, before the board takes action on the consent calendar, does anyone in the audience wish to make a comment or have a question on any matter on the consent calendar? If so, please step forward. If not, I bring it back to the board.
Motion to approve all consent calendar items.
Is there a second? All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Those opposed? Pass. Now we go on to B5, which is the update on focus on prevention of Stanislaus County. And I'm start with Stan Risen, followed by Ruben Imperio.
All right. Well, thank you, Chairman Monteith, the board members, Mr. Doering. It was just 15 months ago that you authorized staff to begin pursuing a new community initiative called Focus on Prevention. And just 10 months ago that you approved an agreement with the Center for Collective Wisdom to help guide and facilitate this effort. And we're here today to provide you a report on what's been transpiring over the past 10 months. And I tell you, from my perspective, it's been pretty incredible. From the very start, we stated that our objective was to include participants from all sectors of society, working and rowing together with a willingness to break down silos and work towards a common set of objectives and goals. Our focus is one of prevention, in asking the community as a whole to begin difficult discussions about how we go about addressing our root problems and not just treating symptoms. And I'm here to tell you we've begun to do just that. We've been joined on this journey by an amazing group of community leaders. Some serve on our stewardship council, which you will hear from in just a few minutes, while others have participated in our homeless action council, our county prevention council, which is composed of county department heads, or we're one of several hundred who have participated in our Finding Our Way Home Summit on Homelessness, or one of the many local city conversations. I want to express my appreciation to everyone that has been involved in this effort to date. And I would especially like to acknowledge your Board of Supervisors for your bold vision and commitment and leadership in this effort. I'd like to especially acknowledge Supervisor Withrow, who has spent countless hours supporting this effort this past year and a half. Also, Ruben Imperial, who we brought over from Behavioral Health and Recovery Services to serve as our Community Development and Empowerment Manager, has done an excellent job serving as our project manager, and in some ways has become our de facto homeless czar, which we're hoping to change here in the near future. And then to John Ott, who has just done a masterful job in guiding and facilitating and help providing guidance in this effort. We stated from the very beginning that we didn't want this to become just another initiative, but the start of a culture change, a movement. And I'm here to tell you that I'm already starting to hear stories of how departments and nonprofits are starting to realign their programs and services to begin an increased focus on prevention. So as you listen to this morning's report, I think you will find that it's becoming just that, a movement that is growing and becoming far more than we could have ever imagined when we first started talking about it, and will hopefully become the seeds of a sustained community transformation. We've asked several members of our Stewardship Council to share a little bit about why they have kind of joined on in this journey with us, And I'd like to start by asking, if you serve on our stewardship council, would you mind standing? There's 21 individuals supported amazing group of community leaders. Thank you for your support for this movement. We're going to start off this morning with Doug Johnson, who represents our business sector, and he'd like to say a few words.
Good morning, Chairman Monteith and Board of Supervisors. My name is Doug Johnson. I'm the president of Stanislaus Surgical Hospital. I had agreed to serve on the Stewardship Council because I was both honored to be selected as well as intrigued by the concept and the model. I have come in the following months to become a believer. I'm here to represent the business sector. We're but one of the 10 sectors represented here today, but we're the engine of the effort and the engine of the local economy. However, we are just one part of the vehicle that will transport Modesto, we hope, from where it is today to where it intends to be tomorrow. It's my hope and will be my challenge to mobilize the financial, human, and material resources of this sector to play its role in the plan we all together will design for Modesto's transformation. With exceptional leadership, generosity, and vision available within our professional ranks, I am confident we will outperform anyone's expectations. We stand ready to serve this community as we have for generations in the past and will for generations in the future. On a personal note, after being invited to participate, I set a personal goal to have lunch and coffee or just a meeting with all the members of this council. I've actually completed about half of those now. And I did it for two reasons. One, I wanted to get to know all of my colleagues that I have joined for this journey. But more importantly, I wanted to get to know their interest, and I wanted to get to know their organizations and what brought them to this point. And two, I decided to become a mentor for an elementary school student. That perspective, while very fresh, has begun to open my eyes to the issues facing Modesto. Those that today are living in the shadows have a very few dedicated champions for which we are all grateful. What they need is a community that considers them an equal. For that, we need to share in some way their experiences and in a large way our intentions. Thank you for your support for this program.
Doug, I'm available for lunch on Thursday. You know, I want to thank Stan and Terry for what you've done for our county. It's given me hope that we can go beyond fixing what is a perceived problem and get to the real root of the cause. And I, you know, frankly, it's a big task. It involves all sectors to do that. But it gives me hope because we're working together now, and a lot of people who never talk to each other are talking to each other. I represent neighborhoods, and really, if you think about it, neighborhoods are the biggest, maybe sleeping giant of a potential change in a community, because it's all the people. And our goal is to get people to know each other in their neighborhoods, to interact with each other, and create a safer, happier place to live. If I know my neighbors, then I'm going to, when I'm off on vacation, they're going to watch my place, they're going to take care of things in the neighborhood, and also can change the culture of our community. And it's not just the cities, it's the county, it's the whole region working together. It's created an interconnectivity that I've never seen before, and a willingness to stop and change maybe what I do because it affects someone else. And I've watched that happen a lot, especially as it relates to neighborhoods and the effect of, well, talking about the homeless issue. I live in a neighborhood that's got a lot of issues there, so it's a neighborhood that you can impact greatly by providing services to folks like that without thinking about the neighborhood. But we're also the vehicle to help with the homeless issue because they're our neighbors. People who live in Gray Seda Park, a half a block away from me, are my neighbors. And I need to figure out how to address them, and we're working on that now. But altogether, Police Chief in Modesto is putting on all the police cars. Modesto, and I'd like to probably think about changing that to Stanislaus County, the county of great neighbors, and that's what we're tasking to get to that point. Thank you.
Good morning. My name is Yamilet Valladolid, and I'm representing the nonprofit sector. So, first and foremost, we have seen the issues firsthand from families in the areas of mental health, homelessness, how much it affects the families that we serve. So that's one of the reasons why I agreed to invest in this effort, because we are not alone. Nine other sectors are collaborating on treating the root cause of homelessness and not continuously putting that Band-Aid as we have done in the past. This is a unique and very inspirational to see all the cities, communities, and sectors investing and collaborating in this effort. There are unique skills, resources, and ideas that I pray will flourish and truly treat the cause of homelessness. Let's not forget that we do not suddenly become enlightened and unproblematic. It does not exist. There is no tangible finish line. There is only endless, arduous work. And it is hard, but it needs to be done. And I'm very hopeful that we can do this together, and we can come up with solutions, and then we can implement them. Thank you.
Doug, I'm available for dinner. Okay, any night.
Okay. My name is Mark Fache, and I'm executive director of Pinnacle Forum for Northern California here in Modesto. But I'm here this morning and honored to be here as the retired editor and senior vice president from the Modesto Bee and representing the media for Focus on Prevention. During my 40-plus years at the Bee, over and over again, we saw and we covered good, caring, compassionate people trying to solve the problems. What we saw also was that in many cases they were working by themselves, a single organization or whatever, and in most cases they were trying to address an immediate problem. As she just mentioned, it involved a lot of times looking for a newer or bigger or better Band-Aid to slap on a wound in our community. 25 years ago, in 1991, we published The Valley of the Poor, which was an in-depth look at poverty and everything that caused that and that happened as a result of that. Part of what happened after that was the formation of a Blue Ribbon Commission to try and address that problem. And while some things happened, today, 25 years later, most of the recommendations still remain to be done. What attracted me to Focus on Prevention is that very thing, prevention, and the fact of rather than looking for Band-Aids to put on things, but to try to get to the root causes of what ails our community and our county. That doesn't mean that we stop addressing the immediate needs. People who are hurting need help. Broken families need healing. At-risk kids need rescuing, and they need it today, not tomorrow, or not down the road. But while we do that, we need to continue looking at what causes all these things that seem to go wrong in our community. And that's really what attracted me. People without hope need hope, and I think the only hope we really have to give them that hope is to really address the root causes of everything that's going on. I believe that the media has a very, very important role to play in this, not just the traditional media like the print newspaper or radio or TV, but the ever-emerging world of online news and information and social media. I think together in all its forms, the media has the opportunity to not just inform and educate and enlighten, but to provide a constant forum for constant public discussion, identifying not just the problems, but also the solutions, and more importantly, being able to tell the success stories as we move forward. And along the way, to encourage and to build consensus, and collaboration and a real sense of community, not just for Modesto, but for Stanislaus County. So thank you all for your leadership in the county and, as was mentioned earlier, for your vision in making this a priority. So thank you.
Good morning. I'm Francine DeCiano, and I'm the CEO of the United Way of Stanislaus County. Along with Mary Ann Cannon from Stanislaus Community Foundation, we represent the philanthropic sector. I've been in nonprofit work for nearly 20 years and have seen nonprofits, government, faith-based, and many other groups focus on the symptoms related to issues in our community versus looking at the root causes of issues in our community. As philanthropic organizations, we want to make sure the dollars our donors entrust to us are well spent, and prevention programs are dollars well spent. It is important for our philanthropic organizations to be at the table for focus on prevention to align with the outcomes and strategies to guide future funding. I describe the Focus on Prevention Initiative as a movement. There's a momentum, energy, and collective spirit I've never felt or witnessed before. Business leaders, citizens, neighbors, together wanting to improve the education, well-being, neighborhoods, and the economy of our county. That's why this matters. It's something we should all be very proud of. Last Thursday, I attended Modesto's community conversation about homelessness. I sat at a table with 9 very concerned community members, concerned about making Modesto a better place to live. The energy at my table was amazing. They wanted more information. They wanted to get involved in committees and wanted to know who to contact to get involved. So I told them that at the end, there would be information at the presentation and that would let them know how they could help. But that wasn't soon enough. As I talked with them, I remembered John Ott's words, never fight with energy. So I hurried to the front of the room and John put the information on the screen for them. That's the kind of energy we want to see and encourage, the kind of energy that will make this project successful. Mary Ann and I are honored to serve on the advisory and stewardship councils for Focus on Prevention. It is time for all sectors of our community to work together to prevent problems before they happen. As Benjamin Franklin so wisely said, an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. Our county, communities, and neighborhoods are all worth every ounce. Thank you.
Good morning, gentlemen. Tom Chagnon, County Superintendent of Schools, and it's an honor for Pam Abel, Modesto City School Superintendent, and I to be part of the education sector. When asked if I would consider being part of this committee and this council, it was an easy yes, and I'll just give you 2 quick why took place. It was an easy yes for me. First of all, as you know, the county office is located on 8th Street. We represent a large section of that block. And we have recently had to remove the door handles of our front entrance to our facility. And how sad that you have a public entity and you have to remove the door handles and lock the front doors because we couldn't control the number of individuals that were coming into our facility and, quite frankly, scaring and frightening our employees. So for safety and concern of our own employees, we had to do this. People were using the fountain for baths and showers, and it was just an unruly situation. And secondly, we recently moved our graphics headquarters from out on the County Center 3 on Scenic and Oakdale, and we bought the Lucas Building out on Kansas Avenue. And it's a great move. We wanted to get downtown. We wanted to centralize our location so that we'd be accessible to more of our agencies that we serve. But the sad fact is when we look at our surveillance cameras that we just recently installed and we just moved this last month, we just see an amazing amount of nighttime activity around this facility. And every door is jiggled at least 2 or 3 times during the night. And there's not a day that doesn't go by that we don't find at least 20 syringe needles near our dumpster area. So we know that we have issues. So when I say it was an easy yes for me to get involved with this committee, I really mean that. We want to make a difference, and we in the education sector firmly believe that education is the key to be able to stop this cycle of dysfunction and despair that so many of our people in our communities suffer from. And we are proud to say that we are making inroads with this, and together we are working with all the other folks to make improvements in our community, not just talk, but I can tell you that as far as education goes, already this year we've hired a full-time person in our county office that oversees now homeless youth, and they're doing counts and they're keeping a better track of the homeless youths in our communities so that we can provide them extra services. And we also have someone now that is working directly with foster students and the foster care system in our county to help improve that. I also want you to know that many of our school districts now, with some additional money coming in from the new state funding formula, are looking at hiring mental health folks to come in and work, not with students that are identified, but some students that are kind of the ones that could fall through the cracks and provide mental health services for them. And we just recognize Central Catholic for their great football season, but they do wonderful things over there, and part of what students are required is community service hours, hundreds and hundreds of community service hours, and many of our schools in San Saw County are doing that. And it's giving young people an opportunity to get into the community and really impact and give people hope and say, lift yourself up and we're there to support you. And when young people do that, people feel empowered. And so that's a great thing. And the last thing I want to mention is the fact that destination graduation, in the third year of that initiative, we have made a focal point of making sure that we work with our schools and our students, that we have students that are graduating and ready to be productive citizens. We cannot continue at the rate we're going, because we're just going to have more people under the bridges and living outside of their homes. So we are working on that. I want to close by saying, years ago when I used to be a coach, I had the opportunity to hear Lou Holt speak, and it was just after he had been appointed as the coach at Notre Dame, University of Notre Dame. And when he signed at the time, it was the largest contract for a football coach in the country. And his first couple years, they did not do well. And he told the audience, he said, you know, I started getting a lot of calls from alumni saying, hey, we're paying you a lot of money to win. Why aren't you winning? And he told people, he said, we'll start winning. Notre Dame football will start winning when more people care about Notre Dame football. And the next year, they were national champs. And we're making a difference in this community, and I'm convinced that this stewardship council will make a difference, because we have people in our community that sincerely care for this community and the people that reside in it, and we will make a difference. Thank you.
Good morning. My name is Cleopatra Morbell, Supervisor Monteith, Stan, and Mr. Doring, and Terry, of course, and all of you. Thank you for allowing us to be here today. I represent the faith-based sector, along with Jeff Pishney, who unfortunately wasn't able to come this morning, but I represent the both of us. Personally, why I'm here and why I joined and why I answered the call is because I had already received my own call, and no one can move by themselves. And so it fit with the call that we all should be having. Otherwise, we would not be here. And from a faith-based perspective, Jeff and I have engaged in this work because we often serve those who are experiencing homelessness, hunger, domestic violence, poverty, mental illness, and or substance abuse. We provide, in most cases, immediate care, some kind of counseling, whether it's for addiction, mental, emotional health, or even marital discord. We distribute food baskets, we serve breakfast, lunches, provide temporary shelter and referrals, and we mentor youth, versus providing long-term sustainable solutions. In order for us to make that difference, we all have to come together, and as has been said, cross, not have the silos, but come together as one to make that difference. And that's what this is doing for all of us. And since this is Black history, one of the things I had read comes from Frederick Douglass, and it says, if there's no struggle, there's no progress. There's been struggle because you're having those who come from faith-based, from business, just trying to understand each other and then understand. We know the problems from our own perspective, but coming together to make that difference means that we have to understand from each other's perspective. And so power concedes nothing without a demand. There is a strong demand in this county and in Modesto and every town within our county, and that's to make a difference in the lives of families and children. We talk about our businesses. We talk about all of that that needs to be transformed and prepared to make a difference in the county. If we are ever to lift this county up, if we are ever to lift our families and children up, all that we say we want to change and we want to be to others, this is the time. It is easier to build a strong child. This is our child. has become the child, the children of all of us. We cannot fix something that's broken. Prevention is the name of the game. We have to look at the root causes, address those causes, and make sure that they are not the prevailing factor that defines what and who we are. But then we began to focus on how do we build a child that is sustainable forever, that can be productive. We want a productive county. We want productive cities, citizens. We want our children to know that there's a future. There is a hope. This is the hope of our counties, our families, and those of us who are involved in this. This is why we're here. There is a hope. And we thank you all for believing in it, for backing it, and for giving all of your time and your effort to ensure that it will come to fruition. And I thank you very much.
Thank you.
Good morning. My name's Ken Irwin. I'm the city manager for the city of Patterson. Ruby Imperial asked me to come today and talk a little bit from a city manager's perspective on the focus on prevention. As you all know, city managers as well as elected officials have to deal with different types of public issues daily. The homeless issue is one of the more touchy conversations I personally have to deal with. However, after attending the Homelessness Summit, I have a whole new outlook on how to address phone calls related to the homeless issue. Before the summit, I was more apologetic and enforcement-oriented during these calls. Now I lean more toward addressing the concerns and turning it around into a productive conversation and inviting the caller to be part of the solution. The summit has really changed my perspective. In December, the City of Patterson hosted the West Side Focus on Prevention. It included officials from Newman, Patterson, and about 20 citizens from the West Side. The meeting was very successful, and we had a lot of participation. We discussed the homeless data and vision with participants, and it was met with a lot of enthusiasm, questions, and suggestions. Since that meeting, many of the participants have been checking in and wanting to know when we'll be holding our next meeting. They're very excited to get the next steps going and proceeding. And I'm happy to say we plan to have our meeting early in March. At our county's monthly city managers meeting, this subject has become a regular topic. Luckily, we're fortunate to have Stan Risen at the meetings, and he has been extremely helpful explaining the process and providing information that has been very useful to us all. We've discussed the data provided by the Homeless Action Council, and the city managers have discussed ways that we can assist the group in getting better and more accurate data. I can tell you that the city managers are all very enthusiastic about this new look at homeless prevention. In closing, I would like to thank the Board of Supervisors for their part in getting this new look at preventing homelessness started and providing the leadership needed to keep the effort moving forward. Thank you.
Thank you.
Good morning, gentlemen. I'm Lynn Dickerson, CEO of the Gallo Center for the Arts, and I represent the arts, entertainment, and sports sector along with Mike Garassi. So as you all know, I'm in the business of bringing joy to people's lives, and I hope you will all agree that in really 8 short years, the Gallo Center has really changed our town and changed our community in a very positive way. So like this Focus on Prevention initiative, the Gallo Center is a cross-sector collaborative effort. It all came to be because of local government's help, the private sector, the community all coming together to make something wonderful happen in our community. And that was an effort that took years and a lot of trust to build. The Gallo Center is here to not just entertain, but to enrich the lives of local residents, and that is happening daily. Much of the success the Gallo Center has achieved has come because it enlivens the soul and it lights up the imagination, and for a couple hours at a time, it allows patrons to forget their troubles and lightens their load. I believe our success at the Gallo Center proves that local residents are hungry for a better and more hopeful Stanislaus County story, one that doesn't end when the curtain comes down. That same hope is found in Focus on Prevention, which is about stemming poverty by working together around education, health and well-being, safe and connected neighborhoods, and a vibrant economy. So we thank you for your investment in this initiative and for providing hope for a better future for our county. Thanks.
Chairman Monteith, supervisors, Council Doering, my good friend Stan, CEO Risen. I'm privileged this morning to present to you the progress report, summarizing the work over the past 8 to 9 months, truly. While action from this body launched the initiative in late 2014, our very first Homeless Action Council meeting was in May of 2015. And the first Stewardship Council meeting was June 1st. So we're just over 7 months into this effort. And my intention today briefly is to walk you through the progress report and to speak briefly first about why this is different, second about the progress that we've made over the past 8 to 9 months, and finally to talk about the work priorities emerging for 2016. I got it from here.
Yeah.
My good friend and partner, Ruben, always a great dance mate. The first thing that I want to say is hearing from the sector leaders already begins to signal how this is different. This is not a local government effort on its own. This is not government by itself. This is government convening a movement and helping to stimulate action across sectors and to create opportunities for people to come together across sectors to engage together around results that matter. You've heard from every one of the speakers that the passion here is a focus on prevention, addressing root causes, and to begin to undercut some of the symptoms that we see affecting our communities and families across this county. This is not about Band-Aids, it's not about symptoms, it's about root causes and ultimately preventing the bad outcomes that we often see plaguing our families and communities. That requires us working in ways that are new to us. So often federal funding or state funding or just the complexity of the work that our schools or our businesses or our communities or our neighborhoods undertake is so intense that it's hard for us to cross sectors to build partnerships. This insists that progress is going to require us coming together in partnership for the long haul. And you've seen from the presentations that you've heard today, from the 500 plus people that gathered at the Homeless Summit on October 1st, from the hundreds of people who are gathering in Patterson and Oakdale and Riverbank and Ceres and Houston, from people gathering all over this county, that this is not one sector by itself, this is all of us together. But it's not just all of us together who are already engaged. It's engaging new leaders, and it's beginning to change a narrative. It's beginning to change the story. The animating value, the beginning value for this effort is that there are no others. And that means, as Brad so eloquently said, the folks that we see who are struggling and who are homeless in our parks are our neighbors. But so too are the neighbors who are scared by folks who are homeless in the parks and don't know how to engage. So too are the folks in our outerlying communities and towns who are struggling to understand how to create a healthy economy. This is a movement that's about us, for us, and with all of us. This is not one sector doing for another. This is not us trying to push folks away. This is us together claiming the future that we want to create. Those are easy words to utter. One of the things that makes this profoundly different is that there is a commitment that's building sector by sector, not only to learn what works, but to hold ourselves together accountable for progress. So often in our political culture, the movement is to find someone to blame. That's not this conversation. This is a conversation in which residents across this county are wrestling to come to agreement about how we will know success, what the indicators will be that will tell us if we're making progress. And more crucially, to be looking at data regularly, day in and day out, month in and month out, year in and year out, to tell us, are we on the right track? And when we are, we keep doing what we're doing. And when we're not, we have the integrity and the passion and the commitment to hold real conversations, sometimes uncomfortable conversations, and change what we're doing. Because this isn't about trying hard enough, this is about results and about seeing real progress over time. And finally, as you know, what makes this different is the commitment that you articulated. And I have to say, I've been doing this work for 30 plus years all over the country and in Canada. It is an extraordinary step for any elected body, but particularly a county board of supervisors, to make a 10 plus year commitment to any initiative. And that you recognized from the beginning that this is not a single year or even a couple of years, but this is a long-term process of transformation, and to go on record supporting this effort for 10 plus years is a remarkable statement, and it is a value that's driving this effort, that we're in this for the long haul. This isn't just about quick wins, this is about a transformation effort that will be ongoing. There's been a lot of progress this year. Sometimes as much progress as we can experience, those of us who live this day to day, sometimes that progress isn't visible to those of us who aren't living this day to day. One of the metaphors that we've started to embrace in this effort is the metaphor of Chinese bamboo. There are certain species of Chinese bamboo that for the first 5 years of their life grow 6 inches. And in the fifth year of their life, they grow 70 to 80 feet. All of the growth for the first 5 years is in the root system that will sustain the growth over time. And for any of us who have ever had bamboo in our backyard, once it's healthy, you can't kill it. That's this movement. And what we've been doing for the past year is growing the root system for this effort. One of the first dimensions of that root system is the Stewardship Council, and you saw representatives from that council here today. 20 people, 2 people from each of 10 sectors who have donated countless hours to help start to create the container and guide this effort long term. The Homeless Action Council, which began meeting in May and met monthly and sometimes more frequently through December, involving over 100 people across the county from every one of our towns and every one of our sectors. But as you also heard from Ken and from others, there are a lot of community dialogues, dialogues in neighborhoods, dialogues in our faith communities and churches, dialogues in city council chambers across the county that are starting to wrestle with this challenge and take up the challenge for action. That we will see much more of in the coming years as this movement builds momentum. One of the profound challenges for any effort about prevention is first, how do we know? What are the results that we're going to hold ourselves accountable for, and how will we know if we're making progress? For those of us in the private sector, that's always, it's a mystifying conversation why that can be so hard, because in the private sector, we know what success is, profit and shareholder value. everyone agrees across the world how we measure profit and shareholder value. But in a conversation about prevention, the first step is to understand what success is, what's profit in this movement, and more crucially, how will we know? The Stewardship Council has been wrestling for a number of months on that question. And the four results that have begun to emerge from those dialogues include a focus on well-being, that all Stanislaus County residents enjoy mental, physical, emotional, and spiritual health and well-being. I want you to just take in those words for a minute. Imagine if we were holding ourselves accountable to the result that all Stanislaus County residents enjoy mental, physical, emotional, and spiritual health and well-being. That's not a government program. That's not a simple neighborhood initiative. That's not one conversation. That's an ongoing process of learning and accountability. Second result area, education. Stanislaus County supports excellence in education for all children and youth from cradle to career. Our third result area, neighborhoods and community. Stanislaus County's diverse and engaged communities strengthen each other so that we have safe and vibrant communities, safe and vibrant neighborhoods, safe and vibrant places where every one of our residents live. And finally, our economy, that Stanislaus has a healthy and growing economy, that our county is thriving economically. Getting to shared agreement that those are the results we want to hold ourselves accountable for was a huge step. But without the next step of beginning to define the indicators that will help tell us, every one of us, elected officials, residents, sector leaders, and others, if we're making progress, those simply become aspirations. And over the next several months, the Stewardship Council will be finalizing a set of priority indicators that we will share with you and elected bodies and others across the county so that we begin to understand and have a shared measurement tool together about if we're making progress. All of us know that even while we were building this process for supporting movement around those four priority result areas, that initially this effort started to galvanize action to help create a sustainable response to prevent homelessness in our county. And we've created a simple slide to summarize the plan that's emerging in this county to prevent homelessness. The first thing that I want you to know is that this plan has emerged because our effort on homelessness is ahead of our effort to address the other four result areas: well-being, education, neighborhoods and communities, and the economy. Ultimately, we will have a document like this for every one of those result areas. We have now agreement across the conversations with the Homeless Action Council and with multiple leaders and people who are engaged across the county around two results focused on homelessness. First, that people who are homeless in Stanislaus County permanently escape homelessness. And second, that people who are at risk of homelessness don't become homeless. And we've identified a set of indicators, and we're starting to build the data systems to help us track progress toward those results over time. And I will say to you, as someone who's worked across California and with communities across this country, no city has yet figured this out. No county, no community has yet figured out a long-term sustainable response to the challenges that create homelessness. We're starting in the right direction, though, by engaging multiple sectors, by building data systems, and by understanding this is not any one sector's responsibility, this is a multi-sector responsibility for every one of us. There are no others. We've articulated four overarching strategies: coordinated access to services, building supportive services. And when we talk about services, we don't simply mean publicly funded services. We also mean volunteer efforts by schools, by neighborhoods, by faith communities, and others. We mean the multiple ways that people in our county reach out and provide support to folks who are struggling. We want to get better at not just expanding those services and informal and formal supports, but integrating them in a way that help create a supportive, sustainable response to help people permanently escape homelessness or avoid homelessness in the first place. There's been a lot of movement now to build the capacity for folks to learn how to engage. Ruben shared with us last week that there was a professor at MJC who had a number of his students go interview folks who lived in the same geographic area in the same neighborhood, some of whom have homes, some of whom were homeless. The number one need identified by both groups was a desire for community. They just didn't know how to engage one another. There was fear and suspicion and, frankly, just the discomfort of not knowing one another. We need to build engagement strategies across our community. And Lynn Dickerson and a number of folks who are business leaders in Modesto and other neighborhood leaders like Marvin Jacobo and others are really pioneering ways for us to teach folks across the county how to deepen our engagement efforts. And finally, we know that we need better housing. We need affordable housing, and we need multiple strategies to help folks, when they're prepared to come out of homelessness, have a place to live. But all of that has to be supported by good data and by capacity building. So this is no one sector's responsibility, but there's a capacity, again, to learn and to adapt as the data tells us if we're making progress or not. What are some of the ways that we know this is making progress? This is a quote from one of the Homeless Action Council members. I just want to say that I'm hopeful for the first time in a long time that change is possible. I really appreciate the reminder of what a group of people can do if they believe they can make a difference. Without that reminder, it is easy to get overwhelmed and lose faith when we are taking on such a complex issue. We will see so much change first in the hearts of people saying yes to get engaged before we start to see curves being turned. And that's what we're starting to see now. The movement is building, as a number of speakers testified to. We will start to see the change represented in the data in the coming years, but it's going to be the changes in the hearts and the hopefulness of each of us that's going to happen first. Our priorities in the coming year. As much progress as there's been over the last 8 to 9 months, we're actually entering into one of the most vulnerable times for any complex change effort. And that's not simply a rhetorical statement. It's grounded in 30 years of experience of doing this work. Because this is when the work gets harder. This is when it's about deepening the infrastructure. It's about starting to have the uncomfortable conversations about where we're going to invest resources and what we need to do differently. And it's when it's not going to be the easy story of 500 people gathering in the convention center or the 125 people or the 300 people in Oakdale. It's going to be about the house-to-house and the community-by-community conversations that start to sustain this work. We're at a vulnerable time. And there's a lot we have to do this year. First, foremost, we're going to begin implementing the strategies that have emerged through the process so far to begin to address the complex issue of homelessness. Secondly, we're going to start the Stewardship Council over the next 2 to 3 months. We'll begin to identify which of those four priority result areas they want to begin to focus on now. It's unlikely that we're going to try to take all of them on at once. We're going to do this developmentally, and there will be progress that we will make in all of them over the 10-plus years, but we're going to prioritize several for this year. Third, we need to develop really good data and really good data infrastructure and organizational infrastructure to support the coordination and the increasing collaboration and action in this work. And finally, we need to help build on the momentum that the leaders from the Stewardship Council have created to start having sector-by-sector conversations, helping folks who are just hearing about this for the first time know how they can get involved and know how they can contribute. So we have a lot of work to do around building the capacity of sectors to take greater leadership roles in the coming weeks and months. Last quote I want to leave you with is from one of our Stewardship Council members. She said, "I think developing shared understanding, truly listening, and truly working together in a meaningful way is the only way we can improve the quality of life for all in our region. Why does this work matter? Because we all desire a thriving community where there is prosperity for all. We have to change the old narrative, the old story, and we are starting to see a groundswell of positivity. We are building on years of work in Stanislaus County. And we are building on the challenge that you articulated some 15 months ago when you challenged everyone across this county to commit to a focus on prevention initiative. I want to say, as someone who's been working in this county for 10 plus years, it's an honor to be bearing witness and to be bearing support to what's unfolding in this county. And as I've said to Stan and others for many months now, I believe what's building here is going to be a story that not only has implications for this county, but for counties and states well beyond the borders of California. It's an honor to be your partner. Thank you for the honor of your time.
Chairman Monteith, Board of Supervisors, Council Doring, and CEO Risen. Ruben Imperial, I'm the Community Development and Empowerment Manager and also serve as the Focus on Prevention Project Manager. It's funny, I was getting asked this morning, am I ready for the presentation? And I'm finally speaking at the end of it, doing the fiscal impact and the policy recommendations. I just think that speaks to the partnership and the multi-sector collaboration we're focused on developing in this project as well. The fiscal impact for phase one is as follows. You approved a contract with the Center for Collective Wisdom starting in April of 2015 to the end of December of 2015. There is staff costs associated with that, as well as the 6779 that was for the Focus on Prevention Summit in October. That was the phase one fiscal impact for the Focus on Prevention initiative. We're anticipating phase two, which will run for the calendar year of 2016, starting in February and ending in December, at $470,000. And you'll see that the contract with the Center for Collective Wisdom, the county will be covering 50% or $125,000 of these costs. And as the report highlights in the agenda, that the county is recommending contracting with the United Way of Stanislaus County to act as the fiscal agent and administrator of the contract. As the report details, the United Way will be able to accept both private and public donations. Stanislaus County Community Foundation has also volunteered to accept private donations. They'll also be able to administrate the contract agreement with the Center for Collective Wisdom. The main reason for that is the United Way does have the capability to accept the funds and administrate any documents needed for individuals that are donating to this effort. So the convening, the Housing and Supportive Services Coordinator, as the report highlights, that is not that is a position or a recommendation that we will bring back to the board. The convening support is for the summit, and the project logistical support is for what we imagine will be a variety of trainings and sector gatherings over the next year as well. So with that, we're making recommendation to accept the update on the Focus on Prevention. We're also asking to accept the attached Stanislaus County Prevention Initiative Phase 1 report. We're asking you today to approve an agreement authorizing United Way of Stanislaus County to serve as the fiscal agent and contract administrator for the initiative. And lastly, authorize the chairman of the Board of Supervisors to sign the agreement with the United Way of Stanislaus County not to exceed $130,000 for phase two services through December 2016. And with that, I'll take any questions.
Any questions by the board or comments this time? If there are none, then I'll open it to the public for those who may have comments or concerns. Please identify yourself as you speak. Thank you.
My name's Bob Shannon. I live in the northwest area of Modesto, and I'm a part of the leadership team of Delwood Neighborhood Alliance. And we're kind of a pie-shaped area bordering Riggsmore on the north, Tully on the east, and 9th Street on the west. We've been in operations for 5 years. We do cleanups in the alleys. We have two parks in the area, Garrison and Pike, which we try to clean up four times a year. There's a homelessness problem in that area. Really glad to see this going. Reuben and John Potts are very inspirational, and we are trying to get our neighborhood involved. We're a medium to low income area, so it's difficult to get people involved. Secondly, I was on the point in time for the homeless, and did the area of Sisk and Briggsmore. We saw a man out there who was lying beside a dumpster. It had a hip replacement. He needs housing. He needs mental health. He needs dental work. The lady I went out with was my partner in it, Teresa Gamboa, is somebody who is out there weekly trying to help these people, the homeless. And she knew of all the different areas where they hang out. It was funny, but half of them seemed to disappear that day we were out there. We ran into one lady at McDonald's, very belligerent to Teresa, although she has worked with her in the past. She didn't want to do anything. She was in a hurry to get someplace. So Teresa, after that, told me she's a hardcore drug addict. She's independently wealthy. She supports the drug habit of two other women who have no teeth. This is her family. These are the type of people that are out there. I talked to another fellow, Indian American. He has no teeth. He's employable. He needs a place to stay. He needs an address. He needs references, but he is employable. Another fellow I met on a bicycle in a parking lot. He is a young man. He's trying to go to MJC, but he's on the street. He's trying to get a job. Again, he has no home, no address. So this is part of the problem that we're seeing out there. Besides what is visible, there is the invisible part. I work with the St. Joseph's Catholic Church and we hand out 350 to 400 bags of groceries each week. We haul tons of food down from Second Harvest. And interacting with these people, there's 12 people living in one home. So they are borderline homeless. That is what is out there. And that's just some of the piece of the pie I just wanted to relate to you that we're looking at as far as this program goes. So thank you.
Thank you. Is there anyone else who wishes to make comment or questions at this time? If not, I'll bring it back to the board. And if you may have questions or if time to make a decision. Yes.
Well, thank you very much. And very inspiring here today. It's a great way to start my morning. And typical, we have so many issues to take up, and very few of them are so uplifting, to say the least. And I wanted to speak before Supervisor Withrow and before CEO Risen, if they're going to say anything, just to say from my standpoint that this wouldn't have been started without the two of them, the commitment here at the board level. And, you know, we all have areas that intrigue us and areas that we're good at, and these two have taken this to heart and really pushed it forward at the board level, again, from my standpoint. Having said all of that, this would be nothing without you. I heard you say many times thanking the board, and it's not us that needs to be thanked, because government is really good at convening. You'll hear that over and over and over again. We've done this with veterans. We're getting somewhere with veterans. We're getting somewhere on water, focused on prevention, crime. There's other issues where we bring people together. That's what we're good at. And then we do have some funding available. But the success of each one of those categories is only because of the people rising up, coming together. And I understand that. So this is a long haul. for people to expect results quickly, it doesn't happen. I think the chance of success has greatly increased because it's been slow and methodical, and it's not a Band-Aid approach. So, again, from my standpoint, I have to thank all of you folks and the empowerment of the community, because without the capacity building, without us actually building capacity, it won't be successful. So thank you. On behalf of me, I will be supporting this, obviously, today. And I thank, again, Supervisor Withrow and CEO Risen for really taking this to heart.
Yes. Mr. Chairman, I just wanted to thank everybody who's involved in this effort, the sector leaders, the Stewardship Council. This is, you know, an issue that we really have to deal with and get on top of. And as Supervisor Chiesa said, you know, the government is not going to be the only solution here. It's bringing the whole community together to have a long-term solution to a very complex problem. And just keeping people that are, you know, in danger of becoming homeless from being homeless, you know, it would be a big accomplishment. I really thoroughly support this effort, and I'm quite impressed with the Stewardship Council and its diversity that they're working together to work on this complex problem. I, of course, am going to be supporting this today, and I just... And we realize this is a long-term solution. We don't expect something overnight, but I think we've come farther in this first year than what I anticipated. And there's a lot more to do, and I think that maybe eventually we're going to get into strengthening families, which I think is, to me, the root cause of homelessness. People who just don't have family support, children, they have to grow up in foster care, then they're released, you know, at 18 out in the street got everything going against them, and strengthening families and more of a commitment to vocational education for a lot of people may, you know, prevent this problem. It's, you know, it's complex, and there's a lot of aspects to how somebody winds up on that, and government can do part of it, but... It takes all of us together. It's a commitment to a long-term solution to really make a difference in this community. Yes.
Well, there's so many good things were said here today, and I don't want to repeat them. But just with regard to this whole movement, first I just want to thank our board because the vision, the courage, and the patience, you know, because this isn't something that moves fast. As politicians in this position, we need instant results from people, and in order to make people feel like we're doing our job. And this is hard for everybody up here, as we kind of plot through this thing, but build that foundation. And so I just want to thank Bill and Vito and Dick and Jim for your guys' courage and patience. This doesn't happen without you guys. And so. Great stuff there. And then, as Vito said, the Stewardship Council, you know, I had a conversation with Ray Simon, former supervisor for a long time here in this county, on Saturday. And he said, well, how's it going in the county? What are you doing? And so I told him what's making me show up on this dais every week is this focus on prevention. And as I talked to Ray, this was something that started that they talked about years ago. It was something that the county... Back in, I think, the days of Reagan Wilson, I think that it came forward that let's start working on preventative stuff. And as Mark said, there's a Blue Ribbon Committee about the homelessness, but those things went nowhere because they didn't have you people. They didn't have something that wasn't government running this thing and trying to get this done. It was the community that was the effort, and that's where this is different, and that's where this will succeed. And all of you have your own sectors that you work in, your jobs, you have your own lives, areas that you are responsible to, but the fact that you're stepping up to make this a better place is just unbelievable. And so this won't happen. It won't be a success without the Stewardship Council and without them stepping up. So I so much appreciate, we all appreciate what you guys are doing to make this happen, because it doesn't happen without you. And then lastly, just Stan, what Stan and Ruben and Patrice, as we started this thing, your efforts are unbelievable too, and this doesn't succeed without you guys helping with all this. So anyway, I just want to thank everybody for everything that was said here. Great talks by everyone about what's going on and where we're moving, and just a great update on where this is going. And of course, I will support this.
You wish to say something? Yes.
Just without duplicating comments, I just wanted to express my gratitude to everybody involved. We've had a lot of great dialogue in the past year, and I think Mr. Ott is correct. It's going to get harder from here on out, but we just need to keep the faith and keep moving ahead. The first issue we're tackling is a huge issue in our community, and like Supervisor DeMartini, can't wait to start addressing some of the others as well. So that's why we signed on to a 10-year-plus commitment, because we know it takes time, and just wanted to thank everybody.
It's interesting to observe that over the years, laws come and go, but they never solve the problem, do they? As people begin to understand, problems are solved by people, people within the community. And this is a great example, and we thank all of you for your participation in this. Does anyone at this time wish to make a motion?
I will make a motion to approve all staff recommendations.
Is there a second?
Second.
Okay, it's been moved and seconded. All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Passed. At this time, we will go on to correspondence.
This board has received a letter for the Worker Adjustment and Retraining Notification Act from SPX Flow, Inc. regarding the permanent closing of their manufacturing facility located at 4771 North Star Way, Modesto, California, resulting in the layoff of employees on or about March 28, 2016.
Referred to Alliance Network and Stanislaus Economic Development Workforce Alliance.
This board has received the claims as noted on the agenda.
Acknowledge the receipt of claims and refer to the Chief Executive Office, Risk Management Division. Does anyone on the board at this supervisors have a report?
I'd just like to make a comment, Mr. Chairman. This Saturday would have been Ronald Reagan's 105th birthday in February 6th. Thought that was noteworthy.
Okay. Any additional report? Okay, legislative, fiscal, and management report, Chief Executive Officer.
Yeah, I was going to introduce you to Georgia Cochran, who's our interim HR director, but she just slipped out on me, so we'll have to do that later. But we welcome Georgia today, who will be assisting while we do a recruitment for a new human resources director. And then I was just going to let you know that AB 21, which some amendments to it, which would extend the or remove the deadline of March for ordinance changes related to medical marijuana, is sitting on the governor's desk. And beyond that, I have no further report.
Okay. I also like to make an announcement. The State of County Address I will be giving on Tuesday, February 9th at 9 a.m. in the basement level chambers on 1010 Street, Modesto, California. Also at this time, this meeting is adjourned, but it is now followed by the county councilor, Jack Dorn, on a closed session.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, we have a closed session this morning to have conference with labor negotiator pursuant to government code section 54957.6. The agency negotiators are Stan Risen, Jody Hayes, and Kerry Griffin. The labor organization is Stanislaus Regional Emergency Dispatchers Association. We do not expect any report out of closed session, and it is appropriate to ask if there are any public comments regarding this matter.
If no comments, bring back to the board. We'll go from there. Thank you.
Thank you.
This meeting is adjourned.